Good morning, and welcome to Chi Society Radio. We have a wonderful show planned for today and an amazing theme. As you may have seen in this morning's newsletter from talkradio.nyc, we're talking about the integrated life. And we'll get into exactly what that means. However, I would like to introduce two very special people that are on the mic in studio today. Wonderful support. One of them is the amazing author, speaker, just plain old wonderful person, G.P. Walsh. Hello, G.P.
Good morning, Kai.
Good morning.
It's hard to be.
And also our wonderful executive producer, Sam Leibowitz. How's it going, Sam?
Who, me? Oh, yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Awesome. It's great to have you both there. And also, I am very aware that you're both familiar with integration. GP, if you wouldn't mind, just giving a brief introduction of what it is that you do. And how does that make you an expert on integration? What does it mean?
Well, great question. You know, it's such a beautiful and natural thing when it happens. Mm-hmm. It's not the kind of thing you do, right? It's, you know, it's not like a broken vase and you find the glue and you put it all back together again. Mm-hmm. It's very different. It's very different from that. We are inherently integrated. We're inherently singular. We're one. We're one being. And we have many different aspects of us, of ourselves. But like a diamond has many aspects. It's one diamond, right? It's one single thing. But we have this incredible capacity to focus our attention. And anybody who's ever studied metaphysics or anything knows that, your attention is like the conduit for energy. Wherever your attention goes, that's where your energy goes. And our attention doesn't have nearly the scope as our being does. It goes from one thing to another. That's fine. It's nature, until it gets to the point where it is out of control, where it is just kind of hopping from one thing to another, and your capacity to simply be present, to feel the central unity within yourself, and to focus your attention on one thing gets severely inhibited. And that's the world we live in today. So ultimately, integration is not a process of putting you back together. It's a discovery that you never were actually split apart, and then regaining the mastery, regaining the control over your attention and your focus, so that it is now serving you rather than the other way around. And we have a million things these days. We have a million things these days to distract us, right? I mean, you have a computer that the thing you call a phone is actually a computer,
supercomputer. Actually, you know, they say your cell phone is like more powerful than the computers they used to send the first men to the moon.
It's absolutely true. It's way more powerful than the first commercial machines that they used to have to take the roofs off a building and put in air conditioning in order to install them. So it's a supercomputer in your pocket. And you often start your show about what was your media for today? So
right,
far?
The media diet,
right? And that's a pure indication of it. I mean, how many things could you look at first thing in the morning when you open your eyes? And then, what are you actually choosing to look at first thing when you open your mind? That question right there determines whether or not you will feel integrated during the day. You are integrated. That's a fact. Whether you feel it or not is completely a matter of the decisions you make about how you conduct the day.
Yeah, this is what I love about GP, is he sees the perfection in everything that is not always obvious is already there.
Very true, Sam. Very true. I'd love to also talk to you, Sam. I know that you've had quite a bit of experience with integrating very profound experiences that you've had into your daily life. Do you have any particular tools or techniques that are your go-to to kind of like pinch yourself and to make sure that it's all real.
Yeah, well, none of it's real, I guess, but yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I've been to enough seminars, I've been to enough ceremonies, spiritual healings, workshops, and everything to know that it's really very easy to go someplace, have a form of peak experience one way or another, and then like you come back home and then the material sits on the shelf and gathers dust, and you know, you may have like learned some cute little facts, but then you don't really integrate it into your daily life, and that it really doesn't serve us when we do that, you know. And it takes, I don't know, a bit of awareness, I'll say, of being really awake to realize that, you know, when we do have a peak experience, it's great in the moment, but the real question is, what do we do with it afterwards? So what has, I would say, helped me the most over the years in terms of integrating has been just talking about it with somebody else. It's just having somebody, it doesn't matter if they were there with you in the experience or not, but having somebody that you can reflect upon your experience with and discuss what happened and what does it mean to you, and what were the great points you can glean from that, and just having that person to kind of reflect it back, to ask you questions, to remind you of some things, like that to me is like sort of the first step in helping to integrate those things. It's really just the communication around it, and that helps to remind us, oh yeah, like that was really good, and that was really good. Because sometimes, you know, we can go away for a weekend and have a number of wonderful experiences, and we only remember two or three of them, but as you start talking about it and telling the story around it, all of a sudden you find there's like, you know, a dozen, two dozen, three dozen different amazing things that you wouldn't have remembered had you not been in the place to tell the story about it afterwards.
Yeah, you have to have a tribe.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to have a tribe.
You have to have a tribe.
You have to have a community around you who are like-minded, like-hearted.
You didn't know how to ride a bike the first time you got on it. You know?
I still don't know how to ride a bike.
I'm so with Sam on this one. I call it the great retreat crash.
Right.
You know, I mean, you feel like you're in heaven, and the Red Sea is parting in front of you, and then Monday morning you're yelling at your kids, and you think you didn't get anything. Well, you did. You got the
very
exposure.
True.
You got the exposure to it.
Experience with integration is kind of funny because it's a series of epic fails. I've definitely written myself plenty of notes and letters to remind myself of, you know, the experiences that I've had and what I've learned from them. However, pen and paper just aren't an equal translation to actually being in the space of what it is that you've learned or experienced. So when I come back to those notes and when I come back to those letters, they often fall pretty flat of what it was that I was trying to convey to myself. But at least it was an approach, at least it was an attempt. And I find it quite funny to see how I try and try and try. However, the point is that I am giving a bit of effort. And GP, you started to touch on why integration is important, and we've used the analogy thus far of a bike and riding a bike. I'd like to use the analogy of a salad, also because I'm sitting here in the middle of a farm right now. However, if we discover this wonderful, amazing ingredient that now we can implement, you know, into the rest of our salad. Maybe, you know, maybe I haven't used radishes before, and, you know, I want to put it in my salad. To me, that's the equivalent of taking that wonderful golden lesson that I've learned and mixing it in with the rest of my life.
Right.
It'll make the whole salad taste just a little bit different and give me just a little bit of a different angle on how I can, you know, start to enjoy that whole salad a bit more. Do either of you have any other analogies that help you to understand or help to explain what integration is in our lives and how important it is.
Well, I just wanted to go back for a second to something you said before, Kai, about, you know, writing things down and then, you know, it's kind of important because I know so many of us will go through something and we'll take copious notes and we'll write lots and lots of stuff. And then sometimes those notes just kind of sit on the shelf or you close the notebook and you don't go back and reread it and really study it and talk about it. And so it's great in capturing for the moment, but then we don't really review it. And what I've found is nowadays, and I just took a workshop this past weekend, I didn't take any notes because I really wanted to stay present and focused on the experience, on what the person was saying, but really being there. And I've found that sometimes writing all these notes, while it's great for capturing information, it sometimes takes us out of the moment. And while you're writing one thing, oh, the person just said something else that was really good. Oh, I missed that one. And then you're constantly going, your attention is being drawn back and forth from the writing to the paying attention. So while I agree, it's something that I know so many of us kind of get caught up in is the taking of notes. But in recent years, I find more just being present, paying attention, and then the real big thing is always asking the question, how do I apply this to my life? Like, not just taking it as something conceptual that makes sense, but it's like, how do we take whatever lesson this is, how do we apply it to our own lives?
I couldn't agree with that more. I actually don't allow people to take notes in my classes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I mean, if there's something that I really want to give them in terms of, you know, stuff to jot down, I'll give it to them. Because that's part of the distraction. That's part of the disintegration. It's not you that is non-integrated. It's the mind and the focus of attention.
Right.
And so the mind is trying to wrap context around what you're experiencing, which means you're not experiencing it. Right. Yeah. And that's really the heart and soul of it. You know, it's like you're walking through a park at springtime and suddenly this beautiful flower catches your attention. And then all of a sudden there's just this moment, right, where it is a direct experience. The beauty of it just strikes you. And it's irresistible. I call it the power of wow. Everything just stops in that moment. And then little by little, the mind goes, wow, isn't that beautiful? Gee, what a great flower. Gee, I haven't seen that one before. You know, that might be, I wonder what the name is. You know, I think they had those on sale at Whole Foods. Before you know it, you're not experiencing the flower anymore.
Right.
You're experiencing a narrative about the flower. If you can pinpoint that moment, that is the moment where you disintegrate.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. And it's not that, you know, describing it isn't bad. You know, a description is part of the deal. It's when we lose ourselves in it.
Right, right. Exactly. So it's time for us to take a little break. We have a little announcement from the station. And everybody stay tuned. And we'll be right back with Kai Society.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Kaya Society Radio here at talkradio.nyc. And as you've been listening in, we have two amazing, amazing experts to speak about the subject of integration and how to have or to lead an integrated life. So in studio, we have a GP of GPWalsh.com, the Master Heart Institute. Hello, GP.
Hello, my love.
Hello. And, of course, our wonderful, wonderful executive producer and our conscious consultant, Sam Leibowitz. Hello, Sam.
Hello, my dear.
Hello.
Are you enjoying lots of eggs on the farm today?
Oh my gosh, we have baskets that are overflowing.
Those are happy
chickens.
Trying to
figure out one more recipe to try, and it's been a challenge. Thank you for asking. So we've been really getting into what the importance of integration is and what it means, and also how we've each personally use different techniques and different methods to create a firm foundation to understand how we are integrating and to understand that, as GP stated, we actually are already integrated. So, GP, there was a wonderful quote that you had shared with me. Do you recall the quote that we spoke about? That talks about the flow of life between two different ways of being.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I mean, it's really, and I'll give you the quote in just a second, but I get a nice storytelling lead into it.
Ah. never miss an opportunity
to
tell a story.
People have studied the chakras, and I actually do a class on the chakras. But the interesting thing about it is that chakras is the Sanskrit word for wheel. That's what it means.
Right.
And they're depicted as spinning vortexes of light. They're actually way, way more than that, but that's how they're pictured. Anyway, interestingly enough, the word in English that is suffering, especially as it appears in the Buddhist text, comes from the word dukkha, the Sanskrit word dukkha. And it's a beautiful image because dukkha refers to the hub of a wheel that has gotten out of true and can't move. It's stuck. When the wheel of life gets stuck somewhere, and we get stuck by our attention getting either scattered or myopic, right? We're no longer flowing through life. We're no longer moving from one scene to the next easily and naturally, and that is the cause of all suffering. And the quote you're referring to is from one of my favorite teachers, Nisargadatta Maharaj, who said, "To know that you are nothing is wisdom. To know that you are everything is love. Between these two, my life flows." And
wow.
For many who aren't familiar with non-dual teaching, is that I'm everything, I'm nothing, what the hell? don't let it be so confusing. You have this capacity to move. We do it all the time. We just don't realize it. We move, from being a friend to a lover, to a parent, to a child, to a sibling, to an employee, to an employer. We constantly moving through different roles that we play, and we don't realize it, but we're literally becoming different people as we do. Different qualities within us are called on. It's not that we're like schizophrenic. It's just different aspects of ourselves are called on in a particular moment.
Right.
They appear. Right? When we recognize that that's our nature and we don't get stuck in any of those roles, you have the ultimate freedom.
Right. One of my teachers says, the one of the challenges in Western society is we think that the ego is the problem. And he said, the ego is not the problem. The problem is we think we only have one ego and we get very, very attached to that one aspect of ourselves. Whereas, as you say, we have all these different aspects that can arise in any given moment or not. And when we, instead of being stuck in just, I have to be this in everything in my life, we learn to flow and show up as needed and as whatever arises in the given moment, that then we're much more integrated.
You show up as nobody.
Right.
You show up as nobody, and whoever you need to be appears.
Right.
I mean, it's magic.
Right. The fool in the tarot deck, right? You start off as the fool.
That's right. You just kind of, and you have no agenda. Right. You know, you're not trying to force any circumstance to your will. You're not trying to make it go in a particular way. Mm-hmm. Your expectations are open and expectant, but not focused on anything. Mm-hmm. And suddenly life is flowing. Right. Doing a video this afternoon for YouTube, I'm calling it Life is Water, Belief is Rock.
Uh-huh.
I should say stone instead of rock. People go, rock, yeah.
Hard rock.
Is stone. Because life just flows. Life doesn't have an agenda. Life isn't on a mission.
Right.
It's just flowing. And if it, you know, and beliefs, though, are very solid. They don't want to move.
Right.
And the life says, well, whatever. And it just kind of goes around or pushes it out of the way. Be life. I mean, you don't have a life. You are life. I mean, you are the flow. You are the flow of life.
Right. Right.
And to just see that is like, oh, I am not only integrated with myself, I'm totally integrated into life. There's not two of us.
Right.
It's just this one beautiful flowing being.
Right. Right.
Do you mind explaining the difference between the two? And I'm going to give an example of what exactly I mean. For instance, effort and resistance can tend to be really tiring and wear down our energy. However, they're also both a sign that our power and our lives are not flowing harmoniously. How can we recognize the strain of effort, the struggling, and the resistance that we encounter in order to kind of diagnose, you know, that it's going on, and then switch lanes? Is there any particular way that you advise that this can be done?
Oh, yeah, I call it the yoga of allowing. There's no resistance in life. There's no suffering in life, and life is effortless. Right. So when we're encountering something else, it's simply our view of life. It's our belief that has got us in captured. So you stand back for a second and start looking. You find that you're pushing for something against the flow of life. And it's a beautiful art to just kind of sit back, allow things to be the way they are, and at the same time holding a vision or an intention. But it's an intention that isn't implemented through an act of will or force. It's an intention that is activated by life itself, because the intention itself arose from life. And you're cherishing it, you're loving it, you're embracing it, and not trying to force it.
Gee, I think there are a bunch of Fortune 500 CEOs who probably don't understand that lesson.
No. Well, it's kind of our modern world. I mean, the mental way to do it, it's all about effort and, you know, massive action and, you know, all the success coaches and things like that teach it like that. Yeah. And there's some grain of truth in that. But like the flowing between the two poles, it's a matter of when do I exert the effort and when do I not. But the most important thing is to let go of the sense of personal responsibility for things to happen and instead begin to really cherish the desires themselves. Enjoy being in the desire. You know, if you want an oak tree and somebody hands you an acorn, you may throw it away going, I want an oak tree. I'm trying to manifest an oak tree. That is an oak tree, right? Give it some time. Give it a minute.
Right.
But we want to try to force things to happen. You see that all the time in people practicing law of attraction and the like. Yeah. They don't really cherish the sweetness of the emerging of a desire in of itself. It's like because our belief in lack is so strong, and the moment a desire pops up, we immediately associate it with lack rather than the emergence of something really, really beautiful. I mean,
very true.
A mature relationship starts with just kind of a like a ding, right, in between two people. It's, there's a little bit of magic there. There's anticipation. You're afraid, you know, all of a sudden the guy's slicking his hair down. I mean, it's like, right? I mean, this is the way it works. Would anybody trade that? Would anybody want to skip over that and go directly to the mature relationship? No, nobody does. I mean, that's the sweetness of it, right? It's all in the anticipation. It's all in just the in adoring. This is the way life works.
Interesting, very interesting. And in the same sense, I've seen a definite shift from people seeking validation to people actually seeking invalidation. Mm. And this, to me, seems like there's a, you know, yet another layer that we can better understand that would help bring us closer to the truth.
Can you explain that a little bit?
I've seen instances of this additional shift, this additional distraction in the, you know, in either our lives or if you've heard it come from other people. And how do we peel this layer away or simply learn from it and acknowledge this layer as yet another one of those wonderful veils that we can learn from?
Both Sam and I are sitting here looking at each other. We're not quite sure what you mean by the moving into invalidation. Can you just...
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, can you just explain that a little bit?
Instead of the validation of people struggling and trying, you know, to have their beliefs validated, to have themselves validated by the outward-facing society. And now some people have found out that they cannot find it and are now instead seeking invalidation. So they're looking for a situation to be detrimental rather than helpful because they cannot find the helpful kernel that they're looking for. So it's like saying that by finding this invalidation, by finding criticism, by finding, you know, hurt, by finding pain, the value system has been inversed. Now, by finding these things, people's expectations are actually being met rather than being disappointed by not finding the love and the actual validation that they were originally looking for.
Wonderful, beautiful. So, Kai, it's time for us to go out for another break. Where would you like us to go after this break?
Excellent. We're going to come back, and we're going to start to talk about some of the very specific and tangible ways that we can get these themes moving in our lives. So we'll thank our sponsors, and then we'll come right back to Kai Society Radio to continue our discussion on the integrated life.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of the Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on the Rob and Callie Show Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hey,
Welcome back again to Kai Society Radio here at talkradio.nyc. And in studio, we have the lovely, lovely GP Walsh of gpwalsh.com and the Master Heart Institute. Hello.
Hello, my sweet.
Wonderful. And our wonderful executive producer and conscious consultant, Stan Malibowitz.
Thank you so much, my dear. I have to ask you, because both me and GP are wearing white shirts today. Are you wearing white today?
Oh, no. I'm totally gray and black.
Didn't get you the memo in time. Sorry about that.
Okay, I didn't get the memo on that one. Perhaps next time. Excellent. So we were just talking about a shift in values. And to put it succinctly, failure, instead of being feared, has now become a source of relief. Mm-hmm. People are looking at their stress, and they are becoming addicted to stress relief by any means necessary, and failure is one of them. How can we switch back to being happy and enjoying the journey and believing that we deserve happiness rather than going down this spiral of inverse values and trying to meet our worst expectations?
Well, I just want to talk about failure for a second, because this is something that someone who's been a guest on a couple of the shows here on Talking Alternative has talked about. Brad Solis, who wrote a book, Liquid Leadership, where he talked about sort of the millennial generation and sort of the impact of sort of the new generation of people who were raised on computer games. And that how it's different than anyone who's lived before, because people who are raised on computer games know that, like, lots of times you just get in there and you start bumping around and pushing up against the walls and seeing, like, how far you can go. And then you get killed and then you start over again. And they have no problem with that. And that, you know, the idea of failure does not mean the same thing to the younger generation that it does to people like me and GP. So, you know, just the whole concept around failure, I hear lots of people today talking about, like Seth Godin, who I know, Kai, you also love to follow, like myself, you know, fail fast, fail often, learn from the failure and move on. And while, yes, I kind of get, like, you're talking about people actually looking just to fail because that's a form of relief, but a lot of people don't have that same charge around failure that in the past was associated with it.
Got it. Wonderful, wonderful point. Thank you so much, Sam. And that is a perfect segue to something that P and I have discussed. And Sam, we've also discussed it on a previous episode, just the concept of actually being happy. I remember, Sam, you had a wonderful author who was a guest on your show who wrote a book and did quite a few interviews about people who actually experience happiness. And being around a lot of different people here at the farm and also in the city, for some reason, it seems like such a foreign concept. How can we get back to understanding and starting to lead a happy life?
Right.
Do either of you, GP or Sam, have any wonderful tidbits that help you?
I'm happy to let GP answer that first.
Yeah, I should point out one of the classes we're doing in the Integrated Life series coming up is called the Happy Class.
Uh-huh.
And like everything else, start from the point of view that you're not broken, right? You know, have you ever met an unhappy child? Right? I mean, chronically unhappy? I mean, you can watch them become unhappy. And what is it that takes us from being these absolutely innocent, curious little beings and turn us into these curmudgeons, right? it's very simple. Very simple. It's an exercise I do all the time with people, and that is simply say, I am happy when, and then fill in a list of all the things that you have decided you need before you can be happy. Happiness is unconditional. Mm-hmm. The moment you put a condition on it, it goes away. That means I'm not happy now. I'm going to be happy later when that condition is fulfilled. And if there's difficulty in fulfilling it, if it takes time to fulfill it, you've got days, months, maybe even years of unhappiness waiting for this magic event to take place. And this becomes so habitual that even if it does take place, which rarely it rarely does, right, something immediately rises up to for the next thing right. to happen. Right. It's, you know, it's like the thing I was talking about before about the about our desires. If the desire is seen as something unfolding in your life rather than something missing from your life, you see that the desire, the acorn and the tree and the oak tree are the same thing, that it's actually present, just in embryonic form. And so you'll find that you're not happy because you've put conditions on it, not because it isn't innate. Happiness is not something you gain, it's something you uncover. And it is one of the places that our distracted focus goes is on the absence of something, mm-hmm. which makes this gaping hole. And then we just set up a rule within our own consciousness that says, I will be happy when I have that, which means I'm not happy now. And that's the affirmation. That's the mantra. I'm not happy now. 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 And it manifests itself. The body responds to it. Your emotions respond to it. Your thoughts respond to it. Suddenly you find other people in your life and they all tell you the same thing and you're reading books about it. And now you're even on this path to get everything so you can be happy. And it's like this, whoa, throw it all out. Throw it all out. Just look at what conditions have I created that are causing me to not feel happy now. How about happy now? Yeah. What a concept.
Right.
Indeed.
So anytime you're not feeling happy, it's because you have projected your sense of well-being on some event or person or something in the future. Period. It's not the thing, it is your projection of your happiness on it that is the problem. Refocus your attention.
Understood. And when you speak about now and manifestation, these are really, really big words. Maybe not so many letters for now, but it is a really big concept. How can we begin to grasp when we are ahead of ourselves, when we are behind, or is that just a falsity?
You feel it.
How do you feel about that?
You feel it. Do you feel stressed? Your attention is off. Do you feel unhappy? Your attention is off. I mean, you feel it, right? We live in a culture that just keeps us increasingly distracting. If I feel bad, it's got a million ways for me to try to compensate for it rather than turning my attention right into my heart. And go, well, what do you need? What is it that you feel is missing? Right? No, I don't need to check my email again. Right? That's not mm-hmm. gonna that you know, there's not gonna be any magic bullet in your email that suddenly ta da, that's it, you know. Ed McMahon shows up with the publisher clearinghouse check, right? Oh, you're probably too young to remember that.
I remember that. They're still around, you know.
Are they still around? So it's I don't know.
But I mean, it's been all about being present, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so simple.
I mean, it's really, we get unhappy when we take ourselves out of the present moment. We're either focused on something in the past or focused on something in the future. We're anxious about something in the future that hasn't happened yet. We're worrying about something in the past that happened, and you know, whatever. And we're just not being present. And in the present moment, there is everything you need.
There's a great quote from Bob Adamson, a spiritual teacher I know. He said, is there anything wrong with right now if you don't think about it?
I love it.
The thought always projects. I mean, the mind doesn't exist in the present. It only exists in the past and in the future. Mm. Right now, everything's fine. Yeah. Right? Everything is absolutely fine. But yeah, but what about and what about and what about? Wait, just push all that to the side for a second. And don't try to make any reason for it. Just experience being right now and see if you can find anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. You have to go into the past or the future to create trouble. Stay here. It's nice here. Yeah. Matter of fact, it's actually the only place you've ever been. I challenge any of you to, like, people are like, oh, God, I really like to be in the now. Okay, try to not be. Go ahead.
I love these challenges that you put forth, GP, because when we actually do them and put ourselves in those positions and ask ourselves those questions, we start to realize the absurdity of some of these concepts.
Right, and then happiness arises spontaneously, and you get this really, this big grin on your face, right? It's like, wow, life really is easy.
Very true.
That's a description of truth. That's not a thought. That's not an idea in the mind. I mean, that's what it is. Life doesn't really have any problems. And your life.
Amazing. Amazing. So these wonderful lessons, these, as Sam Leibowitz, I've heard him say, golden nuggets arise. You know, and we start to realize the real truth. I understand that you and I will be leading a series of classes that emphasizes these truths. And I love the names of the classes that were created. And I'll just go through them starting next Wednesday. Correct, GP?
That's correct.
We'll be starting with number one, the integrated life, which is how we kicked off our segment here today, speaking about what exactly that means and how important it is to realize how that is achieved. Number two, one of my favorites, is manifesting on steroids. Number three is the happy class. Number four is the vibrational beings guide to romance. Number five is the end of all struggle. How wonderful. And in just a moment, I'll let everyone know or let everyone in on the title and the reason why class number six is so special. Mm-hmm. But GP, do you have any comments on how profound this series is or can be in one's life?
Not in about the 10 seconds we have before we break. But just imagine a life without struggle. What more can I say? Struggles are artificially created. We're trained into struggling. It's not natural to us. And there is a way out.
Wonderful. And with that, Kai, let's take our last break for the show. And when we come back, we're going to
finish up that last segment in the wonderful series. And also we will conclude our wonderful discussion this morning. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to Kai Society Radio. There has been a wonderful discussion this morning in regards to the integrated life. In studio, we have GP of GPWalsh.com. Hi, GP.
Hi there, Kai.
And Sam Leibowitz, our conscious consultant and wonderful executive producer here at talkradio.nyc. Hi, Sam.
Hello, my dear.
Hello. Sam was one of the first people that I went to look for resources on grounding. My life thus far and my current journey in a matter of speaking has been everything but grounded. And that is said in a joking manner because I'm known to be in the clouds, very creative and imaginative, you know, always up in the air and doing something that lifts me off of my feet. However, Sam has offered some wonderful, wonderful advice on how to take those concepts and just like integrating to ground them into my current experience. Sam, do you mind sharing some of the advice that you shared with me, or even just some very interesting tips and tricks that have really cultivated a sense of grounding in your own life?
Right. Well, I mean, before we can like ground our ideas, our concepts, or these great thoughts that come to us, we have to just ground ourselves and be grounded even just physically. And so there are some real simple ways to encourage that, you know, like walking around without wearing shoes. You know, it was funny. I visited my sister in Israel recently, and one of the things I was very not used to is they wore their shoes in the house. And, you know, I'm married to a Chinese woman, and we always take our shoes off as soon as we get home. Like, that's the first thing you do. And, you know, usually we wear slippers, but it's the idea of just being more connected to the ground. I mean, one of the word itself kind of gives you the clue of what to do. It's being connected to the ground. So, and especially now the weather's starting, at least in New York City area, it's starting to, not completely, but get a little bit warmer, a little bit nicer. You know, one of the best things to do, walk on a little meadow of grass. I mean, you know, if you're in New York City, go to Central Park. I mean, Kai, you're up at the farm, you're surrounded by ground everywhere. But, you know, it just walk on the ground up with your bare feet. That is one of the most grounding things we can do. And it also promotes lots of healthy things within the body. And there's like a movie called Grounding that goes all into that. So first is to just physically ground. And then it's like if you want to sort of energetically ground, well, it's not that difficult. I mean, it's sitting down, close your eyes, going within, and just kind of drop your awareness down into the earth, you know, down to the very core and heart of the planet. And just let it rest there for a couple of minutes. And then take a couple of breaths and open your eyes, and you'll actually just feel more grounded just by using your awareness and your attention, right, to just focus on connecting to the earth. You know, this is something I do a lot because I live on the 17th floor of an apartment building, so we're pretty high up in the clouds. So it's just about dropping our awareness down. Now, how will that manifest kind of in day-to-day life? I mean, being grounded the way a lot of people talk about it, it's just, I don't want to say about being practical because, you know, we're impractical beings. We're crazy, amazing beings. But it's really just about choices. It's about just, I would almost say it's more about being balanced and being sort of in harmony than it is about being grounded. It's like, you know, are you going to spend your last, you know, $15 on, I don't know, a little gadget? Or are you going to, like, get yourself a meal? You know, it's about what's a grounded choice. You know, you have to take care of yourself. You have to make sure some of those basic needs are met before you go further up. So it's like, you know, look at the basics. Just look at the basics, and are the basics covered? And another big one I see a lot in people today, and myself included, is we love to overcommit ourselves. We love to say yes to everything. And I love the idea of saying yes to the universe. But there are only 24 hours in a day, and we do need to have a good night's sleep. And, you know, if things are on a deadline, sometimes we have to just say no. And it's like, sorry, I don't have the capacity right now. Give me a month after all these other projects are done, and then maybe I can do something. But just learning to say no is a beautiful
thing. I love how you've talked about and mentioned concepts that we take for granted right now, like time, like money,
yeah.
Like, you know, our values and our beliefs. We start to translate them into very tangible means, like things that we're collecting on a bookcase or in a curio. And my intent was to share with you the name of the last class, number 6, that we'll be presenting at this Integrated Life Certification Series. And the name of it is Being Spiritual in a Materialistic World, or How to Survive Your Awakening. GP, would you like to talk about this very concept and how the class is a bridge from our city and urban mindset to coming out here to the farm?
I love that topic because it really is. It's going to tie the rest of them together, because there is an awakening going on. I mean, I've been around for 65 years now, and
really,
yeah. Oh. And none of the stuff that we take for granted existed when I was young. I mean, I had my first major awakening experience 6 years before Course in Miracles had been published.
Oh, wow.
There wasn't anything. Yeah. There just wasn't self-help. There was no consciousness movement. None of this stuff existed. And I grew up in the Midwest, right? Greek Orthodox was as esoteric as it got. You know, are you Catholic or Protestant? I mean, that's it. Right. I mean, there was nothing. And just going through but now it's just abundant. It's everywhere. There's a completely different kind of language. There's a big transformation taking place. I mean, you don't really see it reported very much because the news is always focused on stuff that's basically going to make money and keep the people in power in power. So they're completely ignoring the fact that there's this undercurrent that is rising to the surface. And for many people who have experiences, they're suddenly seeing things differently. They're feeling a call to some bigger vision. They're feeling like they want their life to matter more. That, you know, something inside is really wanting to grow. And it runs smack dab into our conditioned patterns and the state of our culture. And that spiritual prompting can often get buried unless people can really grasp the internal mechanism that's going to happen as you begin to awakening. I mean, the stories of awakening throughout history have always been this grand thing, you know, heavens parting and angels coming down and, you know, people walking on water and the like. And that, you know, those are the few little that's not what it's like at all. It's very simple. It's very ordinary. It is very just seeing things differently, and that just continues to grow. But when you see something differently, your life doesn't immediately change, right? That's the whole integration process. Your vision for what's possible is always going to be ahead of what you can actually do.
Right.
And the programming and the beliefs and everything, it's going to unseat them if you understand that it's going to do that. If you don't understand that, you feel the resistance and you think there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Right? The resistance is only there because you've already awakened.
Right.
And so now it becomes a matter of, well, how do I nurture this awakening? How do I integrate it more fully? How do I cherish it? and that comes down to understanding what's happening and why, the nature of programmed responses, the nature of the nervous system, the nature of the way culture functions and tribal laws and that sort of thing. Once you understand that, you won't be intimidated by it anymore. And you really allow the what you're awakening to grow within you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we only have a little bit over a minute left. How do people find out about this series? Where can they go to get more information?
Well, I made it really easy for the folks.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
GPWalsh.com/event.
I think I can spell
perfect.
That.
Perfect.
And that'll take you directly to the Eventbrite page where you can select, you can take one of the classes.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, the classes are going to be live, so you can come be with us in person, mm-hmm. sitting at CRS, a beautiful little place in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to live stream it, so if you can't make it into the city for that, you can participate anyway. And of course, they'll have the replays available and everything for it. So there's no excuses. There's no way out of this.
And when is this exactly?
The first one is May 10th, and they're going to be every 2 weeks on a Wednesday night from 7 to 9, 6 to 9, whatever, somewhere around there, exact.
6:30 to 9.
Right, 6:30 to 9. And so you can just take one of the classes if you want. If you want to sign up for the whole six, it's a big, huge discount. And mm-hmm. if you want to sign up for the six plus the retreat, it's even a bigger discount. So gpwalsh.com/event.
Beautiful. You want to take us out, Kai?
Take us out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to thank you two with all of my heart for being in studio and showing support for the Healing Farm and the many things that are going on. And also my gratitude to talkradio.nyc for having me on and supporting the wonderful initiatives of the Healing Farm. So I thank everyone also for tuning in today, and I look forward to seeing you all and to hearing and interacting with you on Facebook Live next week, Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hello, I'm JC.
I'm Joan.
And welcome to 21st Century Entrepreneur. We bring education,
insight,
knowledge,
awareness,
trouble,
craziness, and fun
for you, the entrepreneur who's looking to build your business
and your community. Listen every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern on talkradio.nyc. And you can tweet us at 21st CE Radio or Talk Alternative.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff, like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.